Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry presents Lessons from the School of Suffering. A young priest with cancer teaches us how to live. Written by Father Jim Willig with Tammy Bundy. Father Jim Willig courageously began to record this audiobook, but when the demands of cancer overwhelmed his strength, he asked his friend, Brian Patrick, to complete the reading. Brian touches our hearts as he finishes chapter 1 and continues reading this extraordinary journey of prayer.
Chapter 10, Progress Report. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job 42, verses 2 and 3. I had just woken up, and I knew something was different. It was my head. It felt so sensitive to the touch. It almost tingled. Now what? I wondered. I soon found out. The simple act of brushing my hair would usher in a new phase of my cancer journey, as my brush became a hair magnet, taking with it a clump of my hair. After 14 months of trying to combat my cancer with various therapies, my hair was finally falling out. This was due to the latest and most intense chemotherapy that I had recently begun. This particular chemo is made up of four specific drugs injected into my body. These drugs have been selected to try and tackle my tumors because in a laboratory experiment, these particular drugs had the best effect on a biopsy sample of one of my tumors. This chemo cocktail is relatively new, but it is hoped that it will be tougher on the cancer than the other therapies. Unfortunately, it is also tougher on me. Suffering and fatigue have been my constant companions for quite some time now. They are unwelcome guests, and just when I think I'm going to get rid of them, they move back in with a more forceful presence than before. Fatigue in particular has been so hard to deal with. I still have my duties as a pastor that I love to carry out, but the day-to-day tasks of dealing with this treatment have become my first job, and that's a job with few to no benefits. Someone asked me if the fatigue I feel is like having the flu. I responded that I usually could work through the flu. In fact, it would only slow me down a little. But this exhaustion is so debilitating that on any given day, if someone would rush into my room and say, "Get out of here, the house is on fire," I would not have the energy to save myself by walking outside. The bright side is that I now don't have to waste any energy combing my hair. As I reflected on my reflection that showed my hair beginning to fall out, I knew there had to be a blessing in this hair loss somewhere, so I prayed, "Dear God, as I lose all my hair, please also help me to lose all my pride and not to lose my sense of humor." On the first day of my second round of chemotherapy, I was really suffering. I had just received my injection that took 6 full hours to complete. That night, I was so weak with fatigue that I had to be helped back to my room and into bed. Later, as I lay in my bed, I could not sleep. I was on my back. I prefer to sleep on my stomach. I thought about the simple act of rolling over that I had once taken so for granted, that I had literally been able to do in my sleep. But now I could not gather up enough energy to roll over onto my stomach. I could not roll over all night. When we are suffering, it is often the darkness of night that sees us at our weakest. Between the physical discomfort and the emotional anxieties, it is a wonder we can sleep at all. For it is during the night, when we are left alone, that our fears and doubts echo in the silence of the room. Every morning that I have been at my parents' home recuperating, we celebrate Mass to start every day. I take great comfort in celebrating this Mass with my family. The morning after that debilitating 6-hour chemo injection, we were having our family Mass in my parents' home. With the birds cheerfully chirping outside, my sister began to read the Old Testament reading for that day from the book of Job. I had often heard of this suffering man before, but on that day, his story touched me in a way that I cannot describe. It was as if the Lord himself had entered the room and said, "Jim, you need to hear this." I was so moved by this reading that later on I read the entire book of Job. It is classic consolation to all who suffer. Job was a good man. He always followed God's word and lived his life the way he believed God wanted. He was blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also the richest cattleman in his town. One day, though, great misfortunes began to plague Job. One messenger rushed to Job and told him his animals had all been driven away and his farmhands were all killed. While he was speaking, another messenger arrived to inform Job that all his sheep and herdsmen had been burned up in a great fire. Before he had finished talking, yet another messenger came to tell Job that all of his camels had been driven off and all of his servants had been killed. Still, another messenger arrived to tell Job that all of his sons and daughters had been dining in a house that just collapsed, killing them all. Job fell down to the ground in grief, but he managed to say, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1, verse 21. But that was not all the suffering Job would endure. Next to be stricken was Job's health. He was soon covered in excruciatingly painful boils from his head to his feet. Job's friends came to see him. The first one said, "You must be doing something to upset God. You must confess." Job answered honestly that he had not done anything wrong. The second friend said, "Somewhere in your past, you must have done something horribly wrong. You must now repent." Again, Job denied any wrongdoing. The third friend agreed that Job had to be at fault somewhere. Job continued to deny that he had sinned against God. But only after much cajoling from his friends, he was finally driven to go to God and demand answers for his misfortune. With this, Job asked of God, "Why is this happening to me?" God tells Job that he will answer his question if, first, Job answers God's question. God begins, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" Job 38, verses 4 and 5. Job bowed his head in humble understanding and replied, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." Job 42, verses 2 and 3. Job realized that suffering is a mystery. There are often no answers. We may never understand it, but the all-knowing God allows things for the best. In the epilogue of the story of Job, he received back 2 times that which he had lost. I believe this epilogue is reflective of heaven, our afterlife. For that which we lose here on earth, we receive back many times in heaven. I so badly needed to hear that. I completely related to Job, whose suffering had become so intense and unending that death itself would seem to be a welcome relief. After a day of suffering such exhaustion and feeling at the end of my proverbial rope, I needed to be reminded of God's mysterious ways. Some things we just can't understand. For example, I absolutely love preaching, reaching people, moving them to greater levels of understanding. But that is one thing that I have had to greatly cut back on during this cancer journey. I just don't have the energy to preach on a regular basis anymore. Sometimes I am tempted to ask the Lord, "Why won't you let me preach more?" Like Job's friends, I want to ask, "Is it something I have done?" Haven't we all wondered why certain things happen in life? So many times we can be quick to blame ourselves, others, and even God. We want answers. But the simple truth is, much of life, especially suffering, is a mystery. We will never know the details of God's wisdom. However, we need to know that just as God always loved Job, though God allowed Job to suffer, Job knew in view of eternity that he would be blessed many times over. And so it is with us. God always has an eternal view of what is best for us. For this reason, God will allow suffering and hardship to come into our lives to prepare and purify us for life everlasting. And there, God will reward us many times for everything we have sacrificed, so as to enter into glory. As St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Romans 8, verse 18. For this reason, when we go through those dark days and nights, we must keep our eyes on the well-known light at the end of the tunnel. For us Christians, that light is Jesus, who promises to be with us always. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. That is the full purpose of this life, to prepare us for the next life. Our mission on earth should be to prepare our soul for heaven. Our soul mission should be the mission of our soul. How do we do this? The answer is love. However, we need help to fulfill this mission of love. As loving as we may be, we still love conditionally and not as Jesus would have us love. Most of us can quickly think of one person we find difficult to love. And yes, the Lord wants us to love that person unconditionally too. This is why we must be purged of all that is not of God. We must be purified in order to enter into the place of perfect and unconditional love of the Lord. Think about this. If we all go to heaven just as we are right now, it wouldn't be heaven for long. We would bring with us all of our unloving ways, judgment, jealousy, greed, selfishness, and that would not be heaven at all. So we must go through some type of purging of what is unloving in us. This is the teaching of purgatory. Before we enter heaven, we must be purged of all that is not fit for heaven. That is to say, all that is not perfectly loving. One can assume that this school of suffering that we enter can serve to purify us of all that is not of God. The lessons learned can prepare us for a life with God. Is it any wonder that so many people suffer so much in the aging and dying process? This suffering is a type of preparation and purification for heaven. If we don't learn these lessons in life's school of suffering, we have to stay after school in a place called purgatory. This belief makes suffering not only bearable, but also purposeful. I have noticed this purification in my own family. As we have gone through this shared suffering, I see my family growing in love and compassion. I see my parents, along with my brothers and sisters, becoming saints as they sacrifice themselves over and over again to do little and big favors for me. My dad, who prays constantly for my healing, has often commented that my suffering has somehow been a blessing to our family because of the effect it has had on all of us. One surprise blessing my cancer has given me is the ability to share my feelings with people by three simple yet beautiful words. Much more than ever before, I now find it so natural and easy to tell my family and friends often, I love you. Suffering indeed has a way of purifying us all, helping us to grow deeper in faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. My family and I had more opportunities to grow in love as my suffering continued. After 2 rounds and 6 weeks of the excruciatingly debilitating chemotherapy, I was scheduled to go back to the doctor to find out the results from my last CAT scan. Truthfully, I had come to terms with a few facts. I have never heard good news at these types of visits during my cancer journey. I have never felt that the cancer was gone. It has always grown in one direction, and that is to get bigger, never shrink. I have never felt I was cured. The tendency for most of us who are awaiting test results that are literally going to affect our lives is to try to talk ourselves into believing it will be fine. However, I believe that type of positive affirmation falls short of the hard reality that one faces. Positive thoughts are good to have, but warm thoughts can't change the cold reality that I was told 1 year ago that I might have a year and a half to live. And so it was that I headed off to my doctor's office, ready to receive my news. Usually these appointments are scheduled for the morning, but this day's appointment was scheduled for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That could make for a more anxious day. But I have learned my lessons in this school of suffering. I have done my homework. Every time I could feel myself tensing up with the anxiety of the unknown, I said the simple yet powerful prayer that Admiral Denton had shared with me. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I give my life to you. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I give my life to you. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I give my life to you. Honestly, when I would pray that prayer, I was not afraid. I was not even thinking that the results would matter. That is what Admiral Denton said would happen. He said that whether I live a long life or a short life, whether I suffer a little or a lot, none of it would matter if I prayed that prayer. And that's the truth. But we all must understand that we can mouth the words, but if we don't really do it, if we don't really give our lives to the Lord, the prayer won't work. We have to do it. We have to see ourselves handing our lives to Jesus as we pray that prayer. I arrived at the doctor's office with my brother and sister. Of course, there was an hour delay to see the doctor. Finally, we were called back and the doctor came in. Over the year, the doctor and I had worked out the routine. He knows I do not need or want polite small talk at a time like this. He cut to the chase. The CAT scan showed the cancer has not grown or shrunk. There has been no change. Just because we pray that beautiful prayer and hand our lives over to the Lord, it doesn't mean that the Lord takes away our human emotions. I felt them. I had been through a horrible time with the chemotherapy. It had knocked everything out of me, my energy, my strength, even my hair. Why hadn't it also knocked out this cancer? I was disappointed, deeply disappointed. And that's a wonderful response. It is natural and healthy. We should never be asked to deny what we are truly feeling. But in spite of my disappointment, I realized I wasn't worrying. And that honestly amazed me. Remember, those are my demons, worry and the need to be in control. What is more, I felt gratitude. I knew the Lord was extending my life, and even more, He was in control of my life. I knew it was a gift that I was still here at all. After taking in all the news of the doctor's visit, I was given a thought that I had not thought of for a long time. Several months earlier, there had been a healing service at St. Peter and Paul Church. During this service, I asked Jesus to heal me, and I truly believe the Lord spoke these words to me. I will give you length of days to fulfill this great mission I have given you on earth. Never in my life have I used the expression length of days. That and the word mission sound like words from the Bible. They sound like words from the Lord. Again, I hadn't thought of that service or those comforting words for many months. But at that very moment of the test results, when I was feeling the biggest disappointment, I believe the Lord put that thought back in my head to remind me of something. He does not need me to know how much time He will give me here. He just wants me to know that He will give me enough time to accomplish this mission. God has given us all the time in the world. It was then that I began to understand that I am being spiritually healed, but not physically cured. The distinction is profound. For all the people who are praying for my healing, I want to tell them that it is happening to me as I am coming closer and closer to Christ through this suffering. I may not be physically cured yet, but I am indeed being spiritually healed. This is solely a gift of grace, a gift of peace, that the Lord is teaching me, molding me, reforming me, so that I would surrender to Him. This only comes after we have learned to be humble, to trust in God, and surrender everything to the Lord. This is age-old wisdom, and this gift of peace is there for us all. As I left the doctor's office, even though I had ambivalent feelings of both disappointment and gratitude, I felt God's gift of peace. The doctor's words, "There has been no change," were beautifully balanced by God's gracious words, "I will give you the length of days to fulfill the great mission I have given you on earth." I understood the horrible chemotherapy would be beginning again. That was hard. People would want to try and comfort me by telling me, "Don't feel that way." But I have come to realize that you have to express your feelings. Anything less is false and unhealthy. We must let people who are suffering express their feelings. For this reason, I honestly say, "I don't want to go through another round of chemotherapy, Lord." And the Lord responds to me by reminding me with the thought, "This is your cross. Take up your cross and follow me." The Lord doesn't deny my feelings. He confirms them. No explanations, no pep talk. Simply, "I understand. Now, pick up your cross and follow me." As I held the image of the cross in my mind, I sighed. This is so heavy. But Jesus, with your help, I will carry this cross for you. The more I held on to His cross, something began to happen. Somewhere along this course, I moved beyond accepting my cross to embracing it.
Recently, a bone scan revealed another large tumor on my right femur, my thigh bone. This necessitated another major surgery to remove 5 inches of my femur and to put a prosthesis in its place along with a partial hip replacement. Again, this was a very painful surgery and recovery. It felt like I had to learn to walk with a new leg. My cross doesn't get any lighter, nor does my suffering get any easier. But as I learn to embrace my cross and believe it is the way I can become one with Jesus, the joy and peace I feel being one with Jesus is actually greater than any physical pain I feel. The foremost lesson I have learned in my continuing education in this school of suffering is that all suffering can be a blessing, even though it is a most difficult and unwelcome one. Nonetheless, God knows best in allowing these misfortunes to come to us to bring about the greater good. This life is so short. Eternal life is so long. We must pray for the patience of Job, who never cursed God during all of his incredible suffering, but always remained faithful to God. Whatever we sacrifice now, like Job, will return to us many times more in blessings, either here or hereafter. From the very first day I walked out of my doctor's office and into the school of suffering, I have been a student of the lessons of life. The grueling assignments and tests, for me, continue in this school. One of the most humbling lessons I have learned is that I, indeed, have so much more to learn. Someone once told me, "Jim, you must be earning your PhD in this school of suffering by now." But the truth is, it feels more like I have returned to the level of a kindergarten student who is learning the simplest but most important lessons of his life. It almost feels that instead of growing up, I am growing down and becoming more like a child of God. As this child student, the Lord keeps teaching me again and again these simple but not so easy lessons to live. Be humble. Trust God completely. Surrender everything to God. The lessons from the school of suffering are difficult to learn. What a blessing it is that we have a great teacher. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. "I do not know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future." Lesson. Suffering is a mystery. Suffering can be a blessing. What we lose in this life, God gives back many times over in heaven. Our purpose in this life is to prepare for eternal life. Even if we are not physically cured, we can be spiritually healed, which is ultimately more important. In growing down, we become more like a child of God. In trusting and surrendering to God, God gives us the gift of peace. Assignment. Pray for the patience of Job. Pray for the faith of Job. Remember that the Lord loves you and wants what is best for you. Be humble, trust God completely, and surrender everything to God. Prayer. Serenity prayer. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Reinhold Niebuhr.
Heart to Heart welcomes you back next week for another inspiring chapter from Lessons from the School of Suffering. If you are interested in purchasing a copy of the full recording of this audiobook, either on CDs or through digital download, or a print copy of the book, or other resources available through Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry, please visit our website, www.htoh.us. There, you can sign up to receive more inspiring content delivered to your inbox. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-208-4875 with any prayer requests you have or other help you may need. And please, as always, keep us in your prayers as well. Donations of any size are also greatly appreciated to help support this ministry. This audio recording is copyrighted 2023 by Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry. Thank you for listening, and may God bless your heart and the hearts of all of your loved ones.